Welcome to the Great Awakening Show. I am Joanne, Divine Life Yogini, and on this week's show, we have Nigel Utton from the World Freedom Alliance. The World Freedom Alliance was formed in November 2020 by a large group of concerned doctors, politicians, educationists, journalists, and people from all walks of life. They knew that something was wrong with what we were being told by our governments and legacy media companies. They had met on protests in London and Berlin and through their social media channels. They are a membership organization dedicated to providing solutions to the world's problems and protecting freedom. The World Freedom Alliance action plan is divided into three main sections: strengthen the individual, building the new, and resist and protect. They are soon to be recruiting ambassadors to promote their work and encourage participation. The education charter will be launched very soon, linking freedom-loving learning places all around the world. Nigel Utton is the COO of the World Freedom Alliance. He is a former school principal who retrained as an osteopath and past life regressionist. He was a city councillor in Norwich when the pandemic went into full swing. Nigel was the first politician worldwide to call out the lies and evil that was being inflicted on the world population. He was fiercely attacked in the local media, but despite this, went on to help found the World Freedom Alliance and We Are All Human, We Are Free. He won four complaints made against him to the local general osteopathic council over comments he made about vaccination and the pandemic. Osteopathy has always been opposed to the theory of vaccination, calling it a crime against health. Disappointed with the response of the GOSE, he resigned the register despite having a first-class master's in osteopathy. He is no longer allowed to call himself an osteopath.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
And Nigel, I just want to say, welcome to the Great Awakening Show.
Thank you.
And what a time to be living in, Nigel. I've got so many wonderful questions, and I'm just honestly honoured to have the World Freedom Alliance, you know, for you. What a wonderful organisation. Our audience wants to know all about it. We're going to just put it everywhere on all of our podcasts and all of our UK Health Radio, which now has 1.3 million listeners worldwide. So it's just, we want to hear all about it. But first of all, Nigel, tell us from your heart, what does this great awakening that we're all going through, what does this mean for you and for us all?
Wow. I think it's happening on several different levels. On a personal level, transformation of my life in the past, I'll say 3 years, but I mean, obviously it's been a lot longer than that. I mean, my actual personal spiritual awakening started when I was a child. More recently, I've trained as a past life regression hypnotist. So that's opened up this huge, expansive view of the universe and the world and everything. But I also think that's happening on a worldwide level as well. What I'm noticing is that people all around the world are... A lot of it was, I think, through what people have seen happening around COVID, and people could see that it was a big lie. And it was like, wow, they've lied to us about this. I wonder if they've lied to us about anything else. And it's like, oh, yes, they have, haven't they? And so people have woken to the politics and the economics and all that. But at the same time, alongside that, there's been a great awakening psychically as well, which I'm sure you're seeing and I'm all around. Yeah.
Nigel, please tell us, all about the World Freedom Alliance, how it was formed with Delores Cannon.
Yeah, well, some of you will remember that there were big demonstrations in London back in, and I forget the dates, but 2020, I believe it was. And I went on one of the first demonstrations in London, and there were 35 people and Piers Corbyn and me speaking. And 2 weeks after that, there were 40,000 people on Trafalgar Square. And that Trafalgar Square meeting was where a whole load of people got together, including Dolores Cahill and many, many others. Mads Palsvig from Denmark, Mikael Nordfors from Sweden. And all of us kind of got together and realised that we all thought the same thing was happening and that we ought to perhaps do something about it. And you will remember, I'm sure, that Dr. Schoening was arrested on Speaker's Corner in 2020. And one of the things that he said before he was arrested was, "You must come to Berlin." And I looked at him and thought, "Yeah, I'm going to go to Berlin." So I went to Berlin and met Mads Palsvig, who's a Danish politician. And he said, "Nigel, you must come and meet everybody." So I went behind the scenes and met Dolores Cahill and everybody. And we then had meetings that weekend about, right, we need to form something. What are we going to do? And we thought, yes, we'll form some sort of alliance. We don't want to be an overseeing anything. But we met in Berlin and had these big meetings in Berlin over a couple of days, and then decided that we would meet again. So we met in Stockholm and we met in Copenhagen. And at some point, I think it was in the Stockholm meeting, we decided on a name, the World Freedom Alliance. We then decided on a very vague structure at the time so that we would have a board and then a core team and advisors. And so we've been encouraging people all around the world to join with us. So we have members all over the world now. And we've got various projects that we've done. We've organised a number of conferences already and bringing together the sort of the big names in medicine, economics, politics, education, and just really thinking, because I've just written an article about it, actually, because we now have an education charter for the world. And one of the things we were keen at the beginning of the World Freedom Alliance is that we were not going to be just a protest movement going out and just protesting and saying this is wrong. We wanted to be offering solutions to the world right from the start. So one of the solutions we've come up with is this idea of an education charter. Mm. So we're going to get learning places. I'm not calling them schools because you don't have to be a school to be a member of the education charter, but wonderful. Learning places. I mean, I would say that your program is a learning place. People are learning here. So you could join the education charter and you will then appear on a map. And the idea is that we're going to connect people all around the world. That's what the World Freedom Alliance has been good at, actually, connecting projects. So someone, let's say a group of parents in Devon want to set up a new school, and a group of parents in Italy want to set up a new school. Well, they will look on the map and contact each other and say, "Well, how are you doing it? What are you doing? What curriculum are you using? Can we speak to your students? Can your students speak to ours?" And so it's about building these mycelial networks around the world of people that are thinking about freedom, particularly around education. I mean, that's just one of them. That's my baby. So that's my project that I'm mostly involved with at the moment.
And how?
But another one is
health as well. Health, big one. You know, education.
Well, health. Yeah, we had a series of conferences last year, culminating in one in Athens, where we brought together all the different ideas that have come up during the year and wrote an action plan. So one strand of the action plan is my bit, which is strengthening the individual. How do we strengthen the individual on a body, mind and spirit basis? Mm-hmm. Dolores Cahill was looking at particularly around how we resist and how we protect people on a law level. She's very keen that we don't use the word legal, that we go back to the law rather than the way it's been perverted.
The natural law of the land, the natural sovereign. We are naturally sovereign beings. This is the going back to the old law, the real law, the true law before they made their corporation into a false fictitious law that has been ruling over us for, you know, goodness knows how long. This is about taking our sovereignty back, our autonomy back, isn't it? And standing up for our right as a natural woman and a natural man in this, on this living on this earth. We shouldn't have to pay for all of these things. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think anyone who saw Dolores Cahill right back in the beginning, I think she was the person that probably woke most of us up to what was going on. She certainly did with me. I mean, others as well, but I think Dolores was key in this. And I've spent a lot of time with Dolores. I'm meeting with her every week, and we've been away. We've had secret drives to Sweden. It was incredible when you're sort of crossing all these borders and hoping that we weren't going to be arrested because there were arrest warrants out for Dolores all over the place. And it was kind of exciting and fun. So she's a great person to be with. But one of the things I've been saying to her is, Dolores, you've got to come clean about your spiritual dimension to what you're saying. And she said, and I'm going to imitate her voice, and if this offends people, I'm so sorry. But she said, it's because everyone thinks I'm mad or something like that. But no, they won't, Dolores. It's just reflecting who you really are in the world, that you are this massive, powerful force, because she is. She's a indomitable. I mean, I've done some spiritual healing with Dolores, and putting my arms around that woman and seeing Archangel Michael appear around her was really something. And when I said it to her, because I thought at that point, I didn't know her brilliantly well, but I held her and saw Archangel Michael, and I said to her, Dolores, you'll probably think I'm mad, but this is just what I've seen when I held you, because we embraced for about 10 minutes, and I said, I think I saw the Archangel Michael. And she said, that's interesting, because I was praying to him this morning. And it's like, wow, I didn't even know she had that aspect of her at that point. I thought she was going to think I was some sort of loony, but she has. She's got that deep spiritual connection.
It's important. Well,
it's her Catholic background, but she's moved beyond that. And what's beautiful about that is the World Freedom Alliance. Yes, it's a political, economic organization, but right at the start, one of the first things I did was set up a series of Telegram groups. And one of those is spirituality, which some people said, oh, what are you doing that nonsense for? We must be fighting the World Economic Forum. And I said, yeah, well, if we don't have a spiritual dimension, then we might as well not bother, because you're just working at that ground.
That's so
true. Three-dimensional level of people aren't
because there. Exactly, because we're going on both paths. You know, you cannot. We are physical, we are human, and we are divine. We are both. We cannot go along just fighting if we don't have that spiritual place that we can go in and fill ourselves up with that divine love light energy. It's a two-way path, and they both. This is about the wholeness, the balance. This is what we need, you know. And also, it's like, I don't think it's about fighting. It's you're fighting in their matrix system. You know, their matrix system has been built and it's impenetrable. It doesn't matter how many tiny times you go to court. Yeah, it's good to go to court and all of that to prove your point. But you turn around and you build the new. You know, that's what they can't have. They can't create. They don't have that ability. They're not joined to the God flame within, you know.
Yeah.
We create the new, don't we?
Absolutely. And it's interesting, because I said about my strand is the individual. Dolores' strand is the law. Manica, who's our chair, her strand is building the new. It's how we create these structures in the world about creating, building the new. Putting those three together, I mean, they're inextricable. You can't do any one without all of the others. But we kind of thought it was useful to kind of just so that we're not all trying to do everything all at the same time, but that we would kind of focus on certain projects. So my big baby is the education charter. But the other thing I'm doing in terms of strengthening the individual is we're having a spiritual retreat in the summer in Athens. So we've got a four-day spiritual retreat. If you go onto the worldfreedomalliance.org, not .com, because that's Donald Trump, we realized after we created ours. But worldfreedomalliance.org is our website. And on the front page there, people can book in and come to our spiritual retreat. And I've titled it something, I've forgotten exactly what I've said, but it's about pressing pause. Because a lot of us have been fighting, and exactly what you said, we've been fighting, giving them energy.
Yes.
And no, this is about pressing pause, regroup, rethink, reconnect with each other and the divine, and then recharge our batteries so that we can carry on evolving and developing in the best ways that we can. So really looking forward to that retreat in Athens in the summer.
It's so important, isn't it? You know, but does the World Freedom Alliance ensure our fundamental freedoms? You know, how can we, restore and retain our freedoms? You know, give us some advice for people, because it's so important. You know, I know it's autonomy, but people don't understand the lawful and the legal. They don't understand what they've done to us.
Yeah. I must admit, I'm on a massive learning curve on that one. I mean, the expert is Dolores in that. And one of the things that she's doing, she's putting together a training program at the moment as we speak, almost literally today, on how we train people to have trial by jury. So how we invoke the old laws, because Dolores is an expert on many things, but one of the things she's an expert on is Irish law, so the old Brecon law. And the idea is that 12 members of the population are the judges. Effectively, they hear all the evidence and then they make a judgment. So there's going to be one of the first ones is going to be in Ireland, and they're going to, she told me the other day exactly what they were doing, and I don't want to get this wrong. I think it was about the use of masks in schools, and they're going to set up a trial by jury and hearing all the evidence, because obviously various children have been harmed emotionally and even physically by the wearing of masks. So they're taking that case in Ireland, and then they're going to take a case in England as well. And the idea is that Dolores is going to be training people on how we do trials by jury, and then getting that information out across the world so that people can use the template, use the model. One of the things we did right back at the beginning was on our website was letters of notice to certain governments. Now, it's very difficult to see the effect that these things have had, but Mads Palsvig served one on the Danish government. And the day before the time elapsed when they had to have responded, they withdrew all the restrictions. Now, we are convinced that it was because had they gone forward with that, they would have been in breach of the law, and they would have been held personally responsible for any damage they did. So I think these things do work.
There's a lot of Reina, and there's a lot of human rights lawyers, international human rights, that are putting together all of these things and taking these people like Matt Hancock, you know, and all the people that are the co-conspirators of this around the world, Fauci and everything, you know, and they're going to, is this true that they're going to, you know, serve them, that they are already serving them? And do you believe that they will pay for their crime against humanity, what they have done?
Ultimately, yes, but it might not be in this lifetime. And you and I might not see it.
So you don't think
spiritually.
So you don't think they're going to face, tribunals, and military tribunals and things like this? You don't think that they're going to?
Potentially they could. And people like Reina Fulmich, and one of my friends, actually, she was a magistrate in London, and she took a case to the International Criminal Court, put in papers to the International Criminal Court, Kira McCullough. But whether that is actually ever going to be heard, We don't know, because it often takes them 10, 15, 20 years to hear these cases.
Wow.
I would like to think that that will happen. I mean, what we're seeing at the moment is the World Economic Forum. They are genius, these people. The people behind what's going on. I mean, we know the names. We know Fauci, Hancock.
But the higher Boris, up ones, who the higher up ones, Truman, the BlackRock, the real ones. But,
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, but it was just so funny, wasn't it, the other day where Jacinda Ardern resigned and Nicola Sturgeon resigned, and it's as if, right, you've fulfilled your role. We're going to get rid of you now, and they'll put somebody else in. It's like Rishi Sunak as well. They're all WEF trained. Even Putin is WEF trained. Now, I studied Russian at university back in the 80s when the Iron Curtain was still there. And I learned back then, the Russians are not our enemy. They're beautiful, wonderful human beings. It's going to make me cry, actually, because seeing what's happening in demonizing the Russians again,
terrible.
We did that all the way through my childhood. We then turned it around. And but what we have now is the Russians are our enemy again. I see patients on a daily basis, and they almost hate the Russians. It's like, no, the Russian people are beautiful human beings.
I've actually been
invited to a conference there.
The media, the programming, the psychological warfare, you know, the disinformation, the propaganda from the TV and the news and all of it. That is not what is actually happening in the war. You know, it's all about the biological, chemical, you know, labs and all of this that Putin is trying to destroy to help humanity, you know, against the deep state. We're talking about, you know, the WEF is the deep state, is the cabal, you know, is all the awful people in all these different, you know, systems that have infiltrated every single system on earth. And, you know, but I'm telling you, I believe that it had to get this bad. It's almost like now, how bad is it going to get? World War III, this threatening. But I believe it has to be this way. The contrast has to bring us to the precipice, bring the people to the precipice. And then, therefore, that contrast awakens them to the truth. And they're like, wow. And then someone comes in, maybe like Trump, who is the only one who could really make the peace as he made peace before, or whatever will happen. We don't know. But we know that there is an alliance out there that is working for the good of humanity. And I believe that they, you know, are doing so much more. And evil will always self-destruct itself in the end, will it not?
Well, I mean, I did my past life regression training last year. And so I watched loads and loads of videos with Dolores Cannon. And one of the things I loved that she said, I'll just say this bit first and then I'll say what I wanted to say, but she said, there is a galactic plan out there to use vaccination to wipe out humanity. And now we've seen that come to light. But the other thing is, so she said, don't get vaccines. This was long before COVID. She said, don't get vaccines, any vaccines. They're dangerous. They're going to kill us or make us ill. But the other bit, she had these wonderful interviews with Nostradamus. And Nostradamus told her that there is going to be an apocalypse, but the apocalypse is there. And then after the apocalypse, that's when what you've just said comes to light, the new earth. We have this, it needs to get this bad in order for the new earth to happen. So people are often, they often criticize me and the World Freedom Alliance, because in our videos we showed a video during lockdown of us all in Sweden. No, in Denmark, maybe it was. I can't remember. Denmark or Sweden, anyway, one of the Scandinavian countries, which was a little bit freer. And so we were dancing. We were at discos. We were having meals together. We were having fun. And we were having all our meetings behind that as well. And people said, you're being too flippant. You're looking as though it isn't important what's going on. It's like, no, we are being human. We're doing what human beings do. We're having fun. We're enjoying ourselves. We're eating. We're drinking. We're meeting each other. We're having human contact. Now, I was criticized recently. I've fallen in love recently with a beautiful cellist in Corfu. And someone said to me, you shouldn't be falling in love in a time like this. And I said, no, now is precisely the time we should be falling in love, because love is what is going to win us through.
Yes.
And people often say to me, Nigel, but it's so terrible. They're killing everybody. They're doing all these things. We're going to have World War III. And I kind of say, yeah, but I think we might need to go through this. We have to go through this stage in order to heal and in order to move on to the next stage.
Yeah.
And it's painful and it's horrible, but I think it's necessary.
It is. It's the transitional phase that we're going through. It's the birthing page, which is the most painful part, isn't it? You know, but on the other side, it's the other side. And also we have to go through it. The pain part, I believe that we're all going for a dark night of the soul individually and a massive dark of night of the soul collectively. But we have to make sure that it is so bad so it never, ever, ever happens again. You know? Yeah. Otherwise, if it wasn't that bad, it would just carry on. And then you just get all the other people come up again and it would happen again. This is why this great awakening has been prophesied by the Mayans, by the American Indians, by the indigenous, and it really is the time of the complete change, the complete shift in consciousness, isn't it?
I mean, one of the things I've done since the beginning of all this on my personal journey was discovered ayahuasca ceremonies.
Yeah.
So it must have been between the two lockups when we were all imprisoned in our homes. I never was, and I'm sure you never were either. And we carried on partying, going out and meeting, and always coming in anyway. Did we ignore it? Someone said, you actually went to the beach during lockdown. Well, of course I did, almost every day. I wouldn't normally, but I just wanted to have a walk and just show that I could. But one of my friends who set up Lawyers for Liberty, I don't know whether I should say this or not. Anyway, she introduced me to, I won't say her name, but she introduced me to this ayahuasca ceremony with the Huniquin Indians. So I went off and had a weekend of ayahuasca and visions. And oh my God, did that. It was like having a massive door. It was one of the worst experiences of my life because of what I was shown. But it was through going through that awfulness. I mean, I'm happy to talk about it. It showed me things that I knew had happened in my childhood around sexual abuse, but hadn't actually, I couldn't ever get to the memories. Whereas ayahuasca said, look, here, mate, you've got to look at this. You've got to face this now. And so I've had four ayahuasca experiences now where it's kind of pieced together what actually happened. And you can't recover from these things unless you face them.
Yes.
And I think that's what's happening in on a worldwide level. We're looking, we're seeing the awful things that they've been doing to us for generations and generations, and they're coming to the surface. Yeah. It's having experienced that in as an internal experience, I can see that it's very, very painful.
Yeah.
But it's necessary. It's like one of the speeches I gave in Denmark actually was it's like bursting a boil. Yeah. That we have this boil on humanity, which we know is about to explode. And when it does, it's going to be messy and horrible and probably physically painful and emotionally and spiritually painful. But it's then gone. It's cleared. We can then start the healing process. So I'm very optimistic about the future.
Not
saying that bad things won't happen, because they already are.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I...
Just describe some of the new ways of living and, you know, how you see the future, because, you know, we're going to be having new systems in every single system, education, politics, health. I mean, the new technology that they have kept from us, you know, the health and the energies that they have kept from us, all of this is going to come out. It's going to revolutionize. I really truly believe that we're going to be going more back to nature, but live with this high tech too.
Yeah.
Very important. Yeah. But tell us about the new ways of living as you see it from the World Freedom Alliance and, you know, this beautiful future.
Well, one of our Telegram groups is Living Off Grid.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of us are going to move into, you used the word sovereign and autonomous earlier on. I think we are going to be really thinking globally, but acting locally. that we are going to have our own ways of producing energy, producing food. I mean, why on earth did, what was I reading the other day? I was in Greece because I've fallen in love with a Greek guy. So I was in Greece, and Greece gets its oranges from Spain. I mean, that is an obscenity. You walk down a street in Athens and there are orange trees. You can pick the oranges from the orange trees. But the EU has said, no, you must get your oranges from Spain. I mean, that's the sort of insanity that we're going to end. Yeah. Greeks are going to get their oranges in Greece. English people are probably not going to eat oranges unless we grow them in greenhouses. We're going to eat apples and pears and things that grow locally.
Yeah.
And we are going to eat them seasonally. Mm. And we're probably, if we have the opportunity, to grow them in our gardens or on
streets.
On wasteland in cities.
On the streets.
Yeah, absolutely.
Pick them off the trees.
Yeah.
The people are starving.
I mean, that's literally what you do in Athens. There are lemon trees and you just pick it. All the low ones have gone now. But I was there a few weeks ago and all the low ones have been picked. But if you get a ladder, you can go up and just pick the lemons from the streets. Mm. I think that's the sort of thing we're going to be doing much more. Everything's going to be more local.
Community-based.
We're going to... And I mean, one of the things I'm trying to do at the moment is open a bank account for the World Freedom Alliance in the UK because Mads is not going to do it from Denmark anymore. So I went to the bank. Can I open a bank? You cannot open a bank account at all. When I said it was for the World Freedom Alliance, they sent me in. Three different banks have sent me in. We do not support your aims. Well, what, you support the aims of all the people that have banks with you, do you? You ask them about their politics, do you?
And terrible.
What is there about sovereignty and freedom of speech, freedom
that you don't
of,
support?
All the different freedom. Well, how can you not support that? Anyway, they've probably been told from on high. We have been attacked but in so many different ways, and I reckon this is another one. So I've gone to my local credit union, which is what one of the things we're encouraging people to do. Bank locally. Lots of us have credit unions which are run by local people for local people. So local people put their money in, local people take their money out. So I've got an interview with them after our interview here and see if I can actually open a bank account through them.
Wow.
And they seem to think that wasn't going to be an issue. So it's things like banking locally, growing our own food, education. I've just written an article. I'm in the middle of an article, actually, because we're launching the education charter. So I've really had to focus what our education charter is all about. And we have not said this is how to organise education. What we've got a series of values, the first of which is love. Whatever happens in terms of education, it must be founded in love. Now, if you take that, most of what happens in schools is nothing to do with loving the students or even loving the teachers. It's not. So let's flip that. If we have love at the center of everything we're doing, how is that going to transform? Now, that could happen with one adult teaching one child at home. It could be one teenager teaching one teenager at home, or it could be a college. One of the things I mentioned is I have a friend in Bangalore and I've been to visited her. Her school has 5,000 students. Now, you'd think that was horrendous and impersonal. Again, I'm going to cry because I tend to do this. She walks around her school and the students flock to her to embrace her because they love her so much.
That's a dream.
Because she just... She just exudes love. I mean, on our website, actually, I think the website's going to be launched hopefully within the next couple of weeks for the educationcharter.org. And there's a picture of Manju there. She's tiny. She's this tiny little woman. And the students just absolutely love her. And you can feel it when you go into the school. It's just amazing.
That's how it should be. That's how it should be.
Imagine if every school was like that. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, I remember when I was a head teacher, before I was an osteopath, I was head teacher of two primary schools. And I went on my first day and the kids would come in the door and I'd say hello. And then by the second day, they knew me and they'd give me a big hug in the morning.
Yes.
So not all the kids, but a lot of them would just give me a big hug. And one of the teachers came to me and said, Nigel, you're not allowed to hug the children. And I was the head teacher, for goodness sake. And I said, what do you mean you're not allowed to hug the children? No, they're the law. You can't hug children. I said, no, there's a law that you can't sexually abuse children. That's a very different thing. Hugging children at the school gate to show them you love them. Now, that is a very, very different thing. I said, so I did training with the staff on, yes, you can hug the children. If a five-year-old falls over and cuts her knee, of course you pick her up and give her a cuddle and let her cry. And it had been trained out of people. I have teachers as patients here. They come and see me and they say, oh, we're not allowed to touch the children at school. And I say, well, what about if they hurt themselves? So, oh, no, we have to just tell them to stop crying. And that is inhuman. It's insane.
It's just awful.
And it's and then just imagine if they're wearing a mask as well. So not only are they not touching the children, but they're not even showing their smiles or their love or expressing their love to the children.
And that's actually stopping them from learning, especially the babies. You know, it's like it's just. And it's taken away our humanness. That's what they want. They want, you know, separating us, taking it. But they, you know, this is a movement that cannot be stopped. This is the movement of the people, unity, consciousness and love awareness. And the people are realizing it's not us against each other. We're coming together because it's us against them, because they are not doing things that are benefiting humanity and love. You know, they are coming from a completely different place.
Radio, the station that makes you feel good. Radio. UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Absolutely. And I mean, having been a teacher for 23 years, I saw how that agenda came in. When I first started as a teacher back in 1990, there was still the culture was student-centered education. It was never perfect, but it was student-centered, and the idea was that the child would tell you what they needed to learn and you would help them to learn it. And that was very much how schools were beginning to work back then. And then gradually it became tighter and tighter and tighter. And it wasn't party political, because we had Labour and Conservative both imposing more and more and more draconian things. Now, I was quite heavily into the inclusion movement. So I would go around and give lectures and give talks and things. And one of the things I warned was, I said, the more we go down this route, the more we're going to have mental health issues in our children. And I warned that 30 years ago. And what are we seeing now? A blossoming of mental health issues among children. They don't even know what gender they are anymore.
No, because they're brainwashed in that program. You know, because that's what they want to do.
Yeah.
They want to. The family unit is sacred, and they don't want the family unit. They want to take away all women, right? They want to take that away. They want men in dresses to do all the women's jobs, okay? Because they want to take away the mother. They want to take away, they want to demasculize the father so that they can get at the children and bring the children up by the state. It's just, you can see it.
Yeah. One other thing. Yeah. On our retreat, we're going to make a video of our retreat, by the way.
Oh,
so
lovely.
Hopefully we're going to get some of the ideas out. And, one of the days on our retreat is reclaiming the feminine goddess within, and it's for men and women. Obviously, but it's about reclaiming that femininity, reclaiming the mother god within us.
That's right.
I mean, I'm a gay man, and so people often assume that I'm going to be part of the LGBT agenda. I'm not.
Yeah.
I am a gay man. I live much of my life ostensibly as a married man with three children, but it was just the times when I grew up. There were various reasons why I didn't come out at the time. But people assume that I'm going to be all for this transgender. I don't know what it's become. It's almost like a war on humanity.
But it's terrible.
It horrifies me. Oh. And there's a wonderful organisation called Gays Against Groomers.
Who I know. They got taken down on Twitter. Yes.
Yeah.
They were massive.
It's shocking. It's absolutely shocking. I mean, they are on Telegram. You can find them on Telegram. But it's mostly gay people who are saying, hang on a minute. These kids that you're saying think that they're in the wrong body. Could it not just be that they fancy people of their own gender?
Yes, they're gay. They're basically gay, aren't they? They're lesbian or they're gay. They don't have to cut their bits off.
No, absolutely.
At 15 years old, it's just terrible.
Yeah, I find it really, really shocking, that one. But another thing I've warned is that anything that triggers us has probably been planted there. So the big triggers at the moment, COVID was a big trigger. Transgender is a big trigger. Asylum seekers is a big trigger. Now, they're using all of these things to divide and rule us.
Yeah.
So I do not hate people who have had their penises chopped off or their breasts chopped off. I do not hate those people. I hate the fact that that's been done to them and the fact that some doctor said it was okay to do that to them. But I don't hate them as human beings.
No.
But
we hate big pharma. We hate big pharma who's making £1 million from that one person. Right, for the rest of their life, taking all of their beta blockers and taking all of their medication that they're going to have to be on from having their sex changed for the rest of their life. £1 million they're going to make. I mean, who's winning here? You know,
I mean, the other big scandal there with big pharma is I had a little spat on Twitter with a gay man the other day who said, "I've lived 30 years with HIV," and I said, "Isn't that just proof that HIV doesn't cause AIDS?" And he said, "No, it's because the medications are working." No, mate, you have been tricked into thinking that HIV causes AIDS. I mean, they can't even define HIV. Even Luc Montagnier, who was given the Nobel Prize for isolating it.
Yes.
Kerry Mullis, who invented PCR tests, asked him. I've seen this wonderful interview with Kerry Mullis, and he said he went up to Luc Montagnier and said, "Luc, can you please give me your research? Because I just want to see the sequence of HIV. He wasn't being provocative or anything. He was writing his doctoral thesis and he needed that information. And Luc Montagnier could not give him that breakdown of a virus called HIV. All he could say was that there are certain proteins that we found. Where have they come from? They've come from stressed cells, which is why pregnant women, people with TB, produce the same chemicals as when you look for HIV. So they test positive for HIV. And it's absolute scam. I mean, yes, people died of some acquired immunity deficiency, but whether Robert Kennedy in his book, he's written a denunciation of Fauci, but even Robert Kennedy is backed off saying that HIV doesn't cause AIDS. In fact, he's written a whole chapter where it's patently obvious from what he's written that HIV does not cause AIDS. There's too many inconsistencies in that argument. But at the end, he said, "Yeah, but it still might cause it." It's like, mate, be brave, be bold, stand up and say that they're lying about
Also, most of the so-called viruses, you know, have been injected into us from the vaccines anyway.
Absolutely.
They make them. They inject them. It's a £1 billion industry. This is why this is happening now, because the big pharma, I'm sorry to say this, many people will die, many people, you know, and all of this is going to happen, but it had to be this way to bring down big pharma for us to go back to natural ways of being. We've lived on this earth for thousands of years without having vaccines, without, you know, healing ourselves from natural herbal medicines, mentally helping ourselves with magic mushrooms and, you know, and all of this, which then only just now using for depression and realizing that it's just wonderful instead of psychotic drugs that they've kept people on for years. You know, we've healed ourselves naturally for thousands of years. We're going back to that.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what I'm seeing actually, because I'm having people come to see me as I'm a little bit of a way out, not osteopath. I'm a non-osteopath, but I do my past life stuff as well. And I do spiritual healing. So sometimes when I'm treating people, they say to me, "Oh, this feels a little bit like Reiki, what you're doing here." And I said, "Well, I can't not spiritually heal you when I'm using osteopathic techniques, because these things are magical, not just mine, but all of us have magic powers in these hands." And you were saying about how medicine is going to move forward.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't think we need machines with medicine.
No.
I think this is our machine. The effect I've had, the Advertising Standards Agency would probably cripple me for saying this, but I have cured polycystic ovaries with these.
Wow.
Just by working on someone's polycystic ovaries, I've enabled the ovary to heal. Cured slipped discs with these hands. And osteopaths are all around the world, and Reiki therapists and Shiatsu therapists.
Sorry, Nigel.
That's okay. Don't apologise. No need. I just wish I could be there. I could pummel your back.
I know. I need the healing out in my throat. It's like, I've been doing it.
Yeah.
But if we have the right condition, alkaline beings, with the God force, we can heal ourselves and everyone.
Yeah.
It's miraculous.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? And, one of my patients, because I learn from my patients, and I don't learn from my patients. I learn from God, and yeah. God speaks through my patients sometimes, and sometimes God speaks through me to them. And I was introduced to grounding sheets. So I've got a grounding sheet on my bed now. And oh my goodness me, it's only been on there for about a week and a half. And already I can feel my body changing because the excess electrons are being taken off by this grounding. It's the equivalent of walking barefoot on the ground, but I don't get a chance to do that other than in the summer because I live in England and it's cold.
I know.
But in the summer, I'll walk barefoot all the time. But I have this ground sheet now. And I bought one for my mum, who's 82.
Wow.
And she phoned me up after the first day and she said, Nigel, said, it's not making any difference. I said, you've only had it for a day. Give it a chance. Spoke to her yesterday. So she's had it on for about a week now. And she said, I've had this pain in my shoulder for years. She can't remember how many years. She said, it's gone. It's just completely cleared. And I think I'm convinced, and she is as well, that it's this sheet. You're lying on this sheet. It's grounding you to the earth. You're not full of all these electrons and electromagnetic fields that are buzzing around us the whole time. And therefore, our bodies can heal. One of the principles of osteopathy, actually, that we learn is that this is a self-healing mechanism.
Mechanism, yeah.
It's self-healing. It heals itself.
If you have the right environment,
absolutely. I had a patient.
Detox yourself, detox your mind, detox your body.
I had a chap came to see me about a year and a half ago, and he was a little bit overweight and he had a really, really bad back. He'd been to see the doctor, and the doctor said, oh, we've done an MRI. You've got two slip discs. That won't get any better now. And your back is, what did he say? It's all wear and tear on your back. Now, this guy is younger than me. I'm 59, he's about 55. He came to see me a year and a half ago, and I said to him, what's the doctor said? And he said this story about the slip discs and the wear and tear and degeneration and all these awful language that doctors use. And I said, look, don't you realise that your body's going to heal all of that? I said, your slip discs probably aren't anymore because the MRI was a few weeks ago, so your discs are probably back where they're meant to be now. The degeneration, well, as long as you're eating properly and exercising properly, that's going to get better. He came to see me last week and said, what you said to me a year and a half ago, he said, transformed the way I was looking at my body. He said, I now feel healthier than I have for about 20 years. He'd lost weight. He looked. I opened the door and thought, my God, this isn't the same guy. And I didn't want to say, oh my God, you've lost a lot of weight, because I wondered if I misremembered after a year and a half.
But Nigel,
but he said to me, look, I've lost my weight.
Yeah. But Nigel, well, look what you said to him. You gave him hope. You told him that he can heal himself. Not like all these other doctors who say, you've got this amount to do. You're going to degenerate. You're going to get worse. Yeah. That's a program that they've planted in your mind. And people start believing the program. And if you believe that you're going to degenerate and you've got this amount to live, so be it. It's all about our beliefs. We are created in the image of God. We are the creators and the creatrixes of our life experience.
Yeah.
And what we believe to be true shall be so.
Absolutely. You know,
it's so, but this is a great awakening. We're just realizing about our magical power now. And I believe that this great awakening is about finding that magic within and giving it out to, you know, the collective as a whole.
So
Your organization is just doing such an important thing. What is more important than freedom and truth and sovereignty, you know, and autonomy of our own health? There is nothing more important than that at this time.
Yeah. And you just quoted three of our values there, because our values that also are on the front page of the website, just so that people know exactly what we stand for. There's nothing in there that anyone in the world could possibly object to, I don't think. And if they do, it's like, how can you object to sovereignty and freedom? I have just turned my phone off and it's just pinged again.
Oh.
Apologies.
No, that's wonderful. Well, Nigel, honestly, it's just thank you for this wonderful insight into the World Freedom Alliance. And, you know, it's just going to go from strength to strength to strength, because, you know, in this energy, and it's like the goddess energy coming in, the grandmother energy, the mother energy, anything that does not propagate for love will dissolve, because, you know, it won't be allowed. It won't be allowed anymore. And then, you know, and what is love? Love is freedom. Love is truth. You know, love is being the best that we can be and helping everyone else. It's about unity, isn't it? You know, coming together at this time. This is why it's wonderful, your organizations helping others around the world see the truth and be free.
Yeah. And we're now fully embraced the spiritual aspect as well, and coming clean on it as well, because we were a bit quiet about it at the beginning, but now I've encouraged them to say, look, come on guys,
exactly,
we've got to be open about this. So, yeah, go on the website and the first thing you'll see is our spiritual retreat. So
lovely. Yeah. Meditations and all the tools you need spiritually. Oh, yes. Going within and helping, because this is, we are human and divine, and we need both to bring wholeness. Yeah. Don't we?
Yeah. Nigel, really appreciate the opportunity to talk.
Yes,
to you,
thank you for wonderful. Thank you for being on the Great Awakening Show. Wonderful. Absolutely
appreciate
wonderful.
Appreciate it.